Several times we have turned to the book of Job, as we did last night in our brother's message. I want to turn again to that book and read from a chapter that has already been touched upon in some measure, chapter 33 of the book of Job. The book of Job, chapter 33. Verse 14, for God speaketh once, yea twice, yet man perceiveth it not. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men in slumbering upon the bed. Then he openeth the ears of men and sealeth their instruction, that he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from men. He keepeth back his soul from the pit, and his life from perishing by the sword. He is chastened also with pain upon his bed, and the multitude of his bones with strong pain, so that his life abhorreth bread, and his soul dainty meat. His flesh is consumed away that it cannot be seen, and his bones that were not seen stick out. Yea, his soul draweth near unto the grave, and his life to the destroyers. If there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand to show unto man his uprightness, then he is gracious unto him, and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. Verse 27. He looketh upon men, and if any say, I have sinned, and perverted that which is right, and it profiteth me not, he will deliver his soul from going into the pit, and his life shall see the light. We trust the Lord will add his richest blessing to this, the reading of his holy word. We have read tonight, dear friend, very precious and yet very penetrating words that indicate to us the activity of God in relation to the sons and souls of men. And this has been upon my mind throughout the day, and I want to bring it to you in the message that is before me. These few moments I stand at this point. We have been reminded in our words of praise that Jesus is calling, and Jesus is waiting, and Jesus is pleading. And to know what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing tonight in the gospel indicates very, very simply and very truly what God has been doing in this chapter, as we have read part of it in your hearing. We read that God speaketh once, yea twice, yet man perceiveth it not. God addressing sleeping man. God addressing sleeping man. And you know, dear friend, the multitude of people, in fact, I can go beyond that and say that the whole world is being rocked asleep in the lap of the wicked one. And that's actually the very word that the Apostle John's using toward the end of his first epistle and the fifth chapter. The whole world. And tonight, dear friend, you're in the grip of sin. And the devil is blinding your heart and your mind. Let the light of the gospel penetrate, and you be illuminated as to your dreadful need before God as a sinner. And the devil, as it were, is rocking you to sleep the way a mother would put a child in her arms and put it to sleep. And yet in the midst of this tremendous situation, God is addressing you. And God speaks once, yea twice, yet man perceiveth it not. Give an example of that. I told you about it the other night when young Samuel lay down to sleep. And God spoke to him, and Samuel was not aware that it was the voice of God he heard in that moment of time. He went over, as it were, to sleep again. God spoke again, until at last the heart and the ear of Samuel was attuned to listen to what God was saying. Dear friend, in the gospel, God can break through, and God can speak to you and cause you to know that it is the voice of God that is speaking. Someone says, how would I know that God is speaking to me? I want to ask you a question. Have you the slightest desire to be saved? If you have the slightest desire to be saved, friend, cherish it. You know why? That's God speaking. The devil never put that in your heart. Have you a thought about eternity? Have you thought that the moment would come and you'll die? My dear friend, it's by these things one can recognize it is God speaking. God is speaking. And tonight I want you to listen to the fact that God is speaking and God has spoken, and the greatest voice that can be heard tonight is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that. And when we listen to him speaking, we hear God speaking. And when we think of the coming of the Lord Jesus and think of the words that he spoke and how he spoke to men, how he called men, how he addressed men, and how men and women and boys and girls were drawn to his person and were saved by his grace and were delivered by his power. God is in the gospel yet again, speaking once, yea twice. You know, dear friend, God may speak for the last time. And it's up to you, and you need to be saved. If I were you, I wouldn't sleep tonight until I had responded to the call of the gospel and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. That's what that man did when he heard the voice of God that night. I know there was an earthquake. I know, dear friend, that very building shook. And I know God was in it. And I know that that man was brought tremblingly before the preachers that were held in the stocks. But above and beyond the earthquake, and above and beyond the turmoil, God had spoken to the man. And his great desire that moment of time, for all the greatest moment in his experience, was uttered in these words, "Search, what must I do to be saved?" When I read these verses, I see this. He keepeth back his soul from the pit, and his life from perishing with the sword. I don't know your experience, then. But is it possible that as you look over your little life, that you have felt there were times when you might have been killed? Times when you might have died. You know, I can look back to times like that. And that is what this man is saying. He keepeth back his soul from the pit. God arresting slipping man. Friend, listen. There's nothing. You listening? There's nothing but the power of God is keeping you in the meeting tonight. If God withdrew that power from you, you would slip from the very seat into hell. And you're not thankful that he has kept you from the pit. He keepeth back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing with the sword. And listen, you might have been gone long ago. And when you hear of the accidents, and when you see of the tremendous catastrophes that are happening all around, surely man in the meeting tonight, you ask, why am I here? God's arresting you on the path. God arresting, slipping man. He is chastened also with pain upon his bed, and the multitude of his bones with strong pain, so that his life abhorreth bread, and his soul dainty meat. His flesh is consumed away that it cannot be seen, and his bones that were not seen stick out. Hey? What is this? God afflicting, suffering man. You know, friend, sometimes for God to get a man's ear and a woman's ear, he has to afflict them. Chastened also with pain upon his bed. Many times did a brother tell of that kind of thing in his wide experience in the gospel. For many times of the servants of God being called upon to visit the hospital ward, for people in their pride of life and in their strength wouldn't have listened for one moment to the gospel. Now they're on their bed and on their back, and the pain is great, and the taste of food is gone, and the very power and essence of life is beginning to slip away. What's happening? God afflicting, suffering man. What did it? He may get his ear. I often say, friend, look, you're in a wonderful place tonight just to get saved and to believe the gospel. Must God do something? Must his hand come upon you in the language of these verses before you hearken, before you hear his voice? Oh, how many could testify to having been brought down to such a state before they responded to the call of God in the gospel. My Bible speaks of men like that. There was a man called Manasseh who was evil. Absolutely evil. And God did this very thing. God took the color from his cheek. And God took health from his body. And God brought that man down so low, friend, that he began to call. And he began to cry. And he began to confess. And God was merciful. God addressing sleeping man. God arresting sleeping man. God afflicting suffering man. A friend, I have a message for you. God atoning for sinful man. I have found a ransom. Those lovely words. I think they're wonderful here, friend. Deliver him from going down to the pit. For I have found a ransom. We sing in our old hymn book down there back there. He found a ransom in a son to save a world by sin undone. He found a ransom, friend, in a son. You heard about that Redeemer last night. Could I just tell you, friend, that that is why God sent a son? That that blessed one might become and offer himself a ransom for all? You know what that word means, don't you? We know a lot about it in Malaysia, where there's a tremendous amount almost every day of kidnapping. Sometimes a wealthy man, sometimes the children, sometimes their friends. And it's not very long until it's known there's a ransom price put down. A certain amount called for. And you know that once that is paid, at least they promise to release the captive. I want to tell you, friend, our blessed Lord Jesus Christ gave himself a ransom for all. And listen, the moment you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the devil has no moral right to hold you. For thank God, that blessed one paid the price, the ransom price, that enables God to deliver the sinful from the grasp, from the grip of sin and of Satan. And our Lord Jesus Christ speaks of himself as being stronger than the strong man who is able to deliver that which is held in the strong man's hold. And tonight, friend, I don't care how great a grip sin has upon you. There is power in the precious blood of Christ to deliver you once and for all from the bondage and the bitterness and the blight and the banishment that your sin will ultimately bring. Why? Because, friend, God has found a ransom. And that ransom is declared to you in the gospel that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scripture. And God wants you, friend, to come into the good of this atoning work of Christ tonight. That price that has been paid by his precious blood shed at Calvary. We often sing, shed for rebels, shed for sinners, shed for me. I'm glad that I've trusted the Savior. I'm glad, dear friend, that I've been delivered from such a foe. I'm glad that I've been ransomed from the power of the grave and the power of death and the power of sin. And even though we may die, if it pleases God to let us go that way, thank God we know a triumph in our glorious Redeemer that liveth, that we heard last night. And this blessed one, thank God, vanquished death. rose victorious from the grave. And tonight that ransom message and that ransom might is sounded forth to you tonight in the gospel. God says, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found the ransom. Look at these lovely words, friend. I remember when I was preaching in that gospel tent that I told you about, I had several of them, of course, from 1949 on. I'll never forget the night I was reading and this verse came to my eye. I have never ceased to thank God for it. God accepting surrendered man. The man who is surrendering. The man who is sorrowing. The man who is truly repentant. What does it say? He looketh upon man. Oh, friend, God's looking down tonight. Let me tell you that. And he's looking down at this very meeting, and he's looking at you. And this word is a very wonderful word, friend. Do you know what it means? It means that God is looking longingly. Who's got the touch of? For I see it all here. This lovely verse has got the touch of that mighty, matchless parable in Luke 15. You remember the father saw his prodigal son while he was a great way off. Oh, we all know what the Father had been doing. Just what God is doing here. He's looking. What was the Father looking for? The Father was looking lovingly, longingly for his returning son. And the verse says, he looketh upon men. And friend, God is looking, I say reverently, longingly, lovingly, upon this meeting tonight. What for? If any say I have sinned. Yes, the prodigal. That's the prodigal. And perverted that which was right. You know what that is? That's the sheep that has gone astray. And it profiteth me nothing. That's the lost silver. See? If any say I've sinned, that's the lost son. And perverted that which is right, that's the lost sheep. And it profiteth me nothing, that's the lost coin. See? For you know what those evil people said about my Savior? They said, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And the Lord, I'm going to tell you reverently what he said, that's correct. And this is the kind of sinners I receive. Wayward sinners. The lost sheep. Worthless sinners. The lost coin. Wretched sinners. The lost son. I receive them all. And that's what God's doing here, friend. God is looking longingly. For what? For your first movement in response to his call. I have sinned. And pervert it. That which is right. I just went my own way, Lord. Now that our brother has been preaching so effectively from Isaiah 53 and 6, we turned every one to his own way. Not only, friend, have you rejected God's way, but in perversion you have traveled your own way. But if you say, I have sinned and perverted that which is right, and it profiteth me nothing, I'm just a worthless, hell-deserving sinner, what will God do? He will deliver his soul for me into the pit, and his life shall see the light. What a Savior. What a salvation. God's waiting for me. Christ is pleading. May you respond and believe the gospel.